Good morning, everyone. I remember probably 35 years ago, that seems like a long time for some, but it's not, probably the first time that I preached in this pulpit. And I remember I was probably scared to death, but taped up to the pulpit was a little postcard, and it said, "Before you are the world's greatest people." And that gave me the calm that I needed. I don't need that card 35 years later, but I still reflect on it and appreciate it so much. Because as I look out this morning, I see the world's most beautiful and greatest people in this audience. Thank you for being here today. We know that some are traveling and a way to be with family during this week of a vacation and holiday, and we certainly miss their presence. And for those of you who've traveled to be here this morning, we're honored to have you as our guest today. Reminder for those who may not be aware that our preacher, Merle and Norma, are in Mississippi for the next couple of weeks visiting with family and friends. And I did admonish them because the family really begged them to come home because they had not been there for a couple of years. I reminded Merle that if they felt that they were about to be kidnapped or abducted, to let us know, we'd come down to bring them back home. Some other things to share with you before I get into the message. Ravonda Shelburne fell on Friday evening. She broke her ankle. She's in John Randolph Hospital. Surgery is pending. Along with Ravonda, please remember her as well as the others that we know of on our list of those that are sick and have health issues and challenging issues before them. Please remember all of them. Also want to share a card as we remember, this is from Billy and Kathy. "To all of you with warmest thanks, the heart remembers kind deeds and thoughtfulness. My heart remembers special people like all of you. Thank you so much. We are so grateful to our church family for the prayers, meals, phone calls, and visits. We have all the cards you sent taped to the wall. Our hearts and spirits were lifted to know that you cared. In Christian love, Billy and Kathy Covington." And in case you haven't seen, Bill and Kathy are here today. We're so pleased to have him back with us after being out for so long. Welcome back, Bill. As when I was aware that I would be speaking today, I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to talk about. But in sharing with someone this morning, I said, even as I get up today, I've got a toss-up between two messages, the 40-minute one and the 20-minute one. And I was admonished to average it out to the 30-minute one or less. But I wanted to share with you because as I was studying, I was in the nursing home visiting Sister Ida Cook. And she was not having a good day that day, so I thought I would share the beginning of that lesson with her. And it was about we are loved, the subject that we are loved, but that's not what we're going to talk about today, but I thought it would be a good opening anyway. And it talked about sharing some simple everyday truths. Now, just to go to show you, I got carried away. Matt Meadows was next door in the room with his mother-in-law. Matt heard me preaching to Sister Cook, and he came over to be a part of that. And I started off with this by telling her a few simple everyday truths. And I held my hands out and I said, "A balanced diet is a cookie in both hands." Sister Cook looked at me a little bit, I said, okay, that one was a little hard to come across. Then I said, a bulldog can whip a skunk, but sometimes it's just not worth it. She looked at me again, still trying to grasp. And then I said, an apple a day, and she said, keeps the doctor away. I said, yeah, but an onion a day keeps everyone away. And she gave me a big grin. And I ended it with, blessed is he that can laugh at himself. He will never cease to be amused. But that's not the lesson today. The lesson today, as you have received in your notes, is his cross, yours and mine. And I want to thank Ron Hayes for the scripture and that he read, and Jamie for the leading of songs, and for your participation in setting the stage for this 20-minute lesson. But I did want to share a couple of more simple quotes about, and this time about the cross. God proved his love on the cross when Christ hung and bled and died. It was God's way of saying to the world, I love you. Salvation comes through a cross and a crucified Christ. He that hath no cross deserves no crown. The greatest of all crosses is self. If we die in part every day, we shall have but little to do on the last day. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world would have been crucified to me, and I to the world. It was Christ who willingly went to the cross, and it was our sins that took him there. Taking up my cross means a life voluntarily surrendered to God. His cross, your cross, mine. Matthew 10:38 says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And if you read the other text in Matthew and Mark and Luke and even Romans and Galatians and Philippians, you will see that the text even says, take up that cross daily. And how many dailies do we have in our life? Until the day we die. Jesus had his cross, you have yours, and I have mine. And all throughout our lives, we find that it's easy to promote the fact that Jesus has his cross. And if we pause and think about it, we find that it's really easy for us to neglect ours. If we do not accept our cross, we cannot possess his cross. Unless we take up our crosses, his is in vain as far as our lives are concerned. I may not be able to change the world, but by surrendering to God and carrying my cross daily, God can change me. No one can walk the path of righteousness for me. I must sacrifice the big me to receive the great he, the great I am. The absolute good in me is in Christ. Galatians 2:20. On the cross, Jesus died not only instead of us, but Jesus died also for us. We too die, we suffer, and we carry our crosses. Jesus bore his, and we also must bear ours. We have the gift of grace, but we also must have good works. Grace is not earned, but it demands some effort on our part. God requires things of us. His grace is free. Salvation can never be come on in, Savior, but stay out, Lord. Martin Luther King Jr. said it this way, "The cross we bear precedes the crown we wear." The cross we bear precedes the crown we wear. A cross around your neck can never substitute for a cross on your back. Your cross on your back. There is no cheap grace, and there are no cheap crosses. It's easy to be tolerant, but it's costly to practice true Christian love. Reflect back on the text again. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9, 23. What does it mean to take up my cross? What does it mean? First, my cross is exclusive. It's mine. The command to take up a cross could be one of the greatest demands Jesus ever made. His condition is intolerant. It's mandatory, and it is eternally vital. Jesus said, "You are either in or out." He didn't give any ifs, ands, or buts. He said, "You're in or you're out." He said, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple, Luke 14, 27. He said, "So then none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions," Luke 14, 33. The cross, you see, calls for death. We must die to self. We must die to sin. We must die to society. Crosses are costly. Basically, we have only three problems. The three problems are me, myself, and I. We must die to all three of those. We must die to me, myself, and I. You see, superficial views of the cross result in weakness. Superficial views of the cross results in weak Christians. We cannot compromise the cross. The Christian life is not always easy and happy, as some of us know all too well. Sometimes we will pay the price. Will we die to ourselves? Will we pay the price? Will we give up our rights to ourselves? Jesus is Lord, and we must admit to being lost sinners. We must admit that we are lost and in need of his righteousness, and we must put our obedient faith in him. We know we need to believe in God. We also need to know that God believes in us. The power to live in the epistles is found in the story of the cross in the Gospels. You see, you and I, through Jesus, we are pardoned. We're not on parole. Jesus gave us a full pardon. We're not saved to live as convicts because Jesus pardoned you and me. We must never forget that God lives in us to will and to work for his good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. 2 Timothy 2:20, Christians must become vessels of honor. All of us must develop and maintain our own individual relationships with God. We cannot afford to live in doubt and visit our faith. We must live in faith and abandon our doubt. My cross is daily. Ouch. That's right. Our cross is daily. Christianity is a life. It's not a moment. Christianity is a life. It's not something that we take vacation from. Christianity is a life. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15, he said, "I die daily." Life is daily, and so is Christianity. In Matthew 6:11, we need daily bread and daily spiritual bread. The early church had daily additions. Those added to the church daily, such as were saved. A sinner, in order to receive salvation, must die to himself. And as the text tells us, take up his cross daily. A sinner, in order to receive salvation, must die to himself and take up his cross daily. These are two separate actions, not one. So don't confuse self-denial with cross-bearing. We need fresh forgiveness daily. You see, yesterday's forgiveness is not for today or tomorrow. We do not die once in conversion and stay dead. Daily death is a daily choice. We are to be Christians who are daily living a crucified life with Christ. As Christians, we are facing one direction. As Christians, we can never turn back. As Christians, we no longer have plans of our own. As Christians, we have minds through which Christ thinks. As Christians, we have hearts through which Christ loves. As Christians, we have voices through which Christ speaks. As Christians, we have bodies through which Christ serves. We are Christians daily. Carry your cross until you find someone who needs it more than you do, then give it to him. By the way, you never will. My cross is not one of my many burdens. Too many think, too often, this burden must be my cross to bear. Jesus said, cross, not crosses. Jesus said, bear your cross daily, not crosses. A cross is something we take up, not something we put up with. This kind of thinking reduces Christians to being victims. Look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20-21. I want to read that real quick. Galatians 2, 20-21. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. In this text, it is telling us that we are self-surrendered. Looking at the text and breaking it down, there are 8 personal pronouns are used in the passage. The word I, as a personal pronoun, appears 5 times. I. The word me, as a personal pronoun, appears 3. Well, what's the great paradox here? Self-crucifixion allows true life. One can neither kill nor hurt a dead man. You see why we must die daily? Because no one can kill or hurt a dead man. Some of us are not totally dead. The man who has died to everything has the ability to give up anything. You see, the Christian has to die before he can serve. The Christian has to die before he can serve. My cross is not one of my many burdens. My cross is not misery. My cross is not misery or sadistic martyrdom. My cross represents joy, not pessimistic doom and gloom. Turn to John chapter 15, verses 11 through 14. John chapter 15, verses 11 through 14. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. My cross is not my misery. My cross represents joy. Sadly, we know about guilt, but we do know, or do not know, rather, about grace and gratitude. Do not teach self-sacrifice without teaching joy. Do not reduce the gospel message to stoicism or just being tolerated. Taking up the cross is positive. It's not negative. It is joyous. It's not miserable. It results in victorious living, not neurotic martyrdom. We are called to live in the forgiveness of God. Lastly, my cross is accepting forgiveness and sharing salvation with others. I must take up my cross to live forgiven, to forgive others, and to die to self, so that I might teach and that I might serve others. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. First John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not live in word or in tongue, but let us live in deed. My cross is accepting and forgiving. The cross is our call to forgive others. We cannot receive what we refuse to give. And until one accepts grace, he cannot learn mercy. Each person must write his own book on the cross. Just as he decides how he will spend, or rather respond to Jesus' sacrifice, have you written your book on the cross? Are you bearing your own cross? The cross, his, yours, mine. There's no other way. If you wonder if you are ready to take up your cross, consider these questions. Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing some of your closest friends? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means alienation from your family? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means the loss of your reputation? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your job? Are you willing to follow Jesus if it means losing your life? Are you willing? Following Jesus doesn't necessarily mean that all these things will happen to you, but are you willing to take up your cross? Commitment to Christ means taking up your cross daily. Giving up your hopes, dreams, possessions, even your very life if need be for the cause of Christ. Only if you willingly take up your cross may you be called his disciple. Luke 14:27. The reward is worth the price. Jesus followed his call of death to self. Take up your cross and follow me with the gift of life in Christ. Matthew 16:25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. but whoever loses his life for me will find it. In 1693, Shepherd penned these words to this song as we close. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. The consecrated cross I'll bear till he shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. O precious cross, O glorious crown, O resurrection day, ye angels from the stars come down and bear my soul away. You may gather your hymn book at this time and stand as we sing the hymn announced.